You are listening to Directions from a Spiritual Tour Guide podcast. I'm your host, Chanel Scott. I'm a psychic medium and energy healer who has been supporting those on a spiritual journey for over a decade. I'm your tour guide into the world of the unknown, showing you that the magic of the universe is at your fingertips. I believe spirituality is simple and fun, and this podcast will make it easily accessible, giving you the real talk on all things divine and spiritual, helping you to step into the flow. Manifesting your dreams because we all deserve to be living our best life. Are you ready for an adventure? Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to episode 100 of Directions from a Spiritual Tour Guide podcast. My name is Chanel, and I am your host and your spiritual tour guide on this beautiful journey we call life. I cannot believe it's 100 episodes. This was such a far off goal for me, just doing a podcast, that being here at 100 episodes is a little surreal. I thought in honor of 100 episodes, I would share about me today. And it's funny because even sitting here, I was trying to remember if I did this at the beginning, and I'm sure I must have. But, you know, 100 episodes later and a few years later, I think it's time to do it all over again and share a little bit about who I am and my journey and how I got here and all of the things. It's some of the questions I get asked all of the time, like the one where I'll start is everybody asks, have you always been this way? And I do remember as a child being part of another world and seeing things other people didn't see and having awareness of things. And, you know, that's a natural thing for kids. Kids just came from the other side. They came from source. So they're very plugged in. And, you know, typically it isn't until they get into school, kindergarten, sometimes daycare, that they start to turn that off a little bit and kind of put up the walls because they recognize that not everybody believes in the things that they believe in or see and hear and do. For me, I think I was probably 6 or 7 years old when I remember there being a man in my room. It was a spirit. He was standing in the doorway and calling my mom and her saying that there was nobody there. And I was sure that there was somebody there. I could see them. So I was scared. And for those of you that know me, I am still a chicken. And it's funny because things that would bother other people, like I don't care about being touched by spirit. They touch the back of my head or my shoulder or my arm all the time, and it doesn't bother me at all. That's just part of my job. That's part of what I do. But that would freak somebody else out. I don't do guts, gore, violence. I can't do any of that. I don't watch scary movies. I don't watch horror movies at all. Things that are even remotely scary, all the lights will be on in the house. I just don't like it and never have. So, you know, being scared was not okay. And I will say, so to keep going, so at that point I asked for it to go away. I did not want to have this anymore because I didn't want to be scared all the time by things that I couldn't see and or that other people couldn't see. So I asked to turn it off, and the universe obliges. And I think this is something that people don't recognize. And it's always interesting when I hear people who don't turn it off and on. You're not meant to be turned on 24/7. Who needs that? I need sleep at night. I need to respect boundaries. For me, I was a single parent for a long time. So being when I was in mom mode, it wasn't time to be in spirit mode. Those two things were different jobs. So you can turn it off and on. You can set boundaries about how on you are in your off times even. So, you know, when I hear people who talk about, you know, spirit waking them up at night and so on and so forth, I'm like, why aren't you setting boundaries? Like, that's ridiculous. So when I asked, the universe obliged and shut it all down. And it wasn't probably until my early 20s that I decided to turn it all back on again. It's actually funny. A friend reached out. She was doing a research project for school for her master's program in education, I think it was. And for some reason, they were looking at psychics and, you know, so on and so forth. And she was like, you've got to go see this lady. She's the real deal. Go and check her out. I ended up doing some classes with her, like just, you know, $20 mentorship, kind of learn about this, that, or the next thing classes. I started to read and I got a deck of oracle cards and like just turned it full back on. And unfortunately, as many people, when they start there, I didn't know about setting boundaries. I didn't understand that what I had done as a child was actually me setting a boundary. And it was interesting. It was Sylvia Brown's book, Psychic Kids, that kind of gave me all these ideas, the things that I was like, how did I not know that? It just was one of those things that I heard the things I needed to hear to be able to make changes in my own life. So one of the biggest things that I did was set boundaries that, like, spirit is not allowed to interfere at night. I was woken up so many times with spirits in my face, feeling spirits in the room, sometimes more than one. I remember our bed shaking, which the bed didn't shake. It was like the sturdiest bed and it was shaking. And that happened twice. And I'm just like, I'm done. No more. We're not doing this. So I set a really firm boundary. And since I've set that boundary, I don't get bugged at night. I did volunteer in hospice for a number of years as an energy worker. And my hospice patients were the only ones that were allowed to come in the nighttime and actually, need me. And I was always happy to oblige. Typically, they would come in through my dream state. I wouldn't even be fully awake to deal with them. And I would be able to help them with whatever it is that they needed, usually, moving to the other side. So boundaries are huge. And that was a lesson that I learned really early on. The other part of that is when I started reading and doing mediumship, I was really clear that I don't do blood, guts, or gore. And again, spirit is very respectful. And I've seen this so many times too. Typically, it happens in group mediumship readings. I've had spirit come in where the person's like, I'm not ready for this yet. And spirit is backed off and come back in a different way or come into another family member to be able to deal with things. Or one of the ones that I found really powerful and so beautiful was at the end, if somebody doesn't get a message, I would go around and I always ask, like, is there someone that you wanted to come in? And there was a woman there that said, thank you, I don't think I'm actually ready yet. And immediately I could feel a spirit there and they said, we're here and ready whenever she is. I have no idea if it was male or female. I don't know anything about the spirit, but I was able to pass that message on to her so that she knew that there was a connection there when she was ready to make it. But spirit was so respectful. And I really, like, I so appreciate that. And I think it's so beautiful. And I think it's something that more people need to understand. You know, we do have control of our situation. I can't be on all the time. I work part-time in a school. I'm only there one day a week administrating, but the day that I'm there, it's not okay that spirit's bugging me. Not to mention, can you much imagine how much energy and spirit 100 plus children bring into a room? It's a lot. And I can't be connecting to all of that when I have a job to do about keeping everybody safe. Same thing when I'm, I will say while I'm teaching yoga, it's not off. It just isn't because I teach very intuitively and I am plugged in when I teach a class. So I do have family members and stuff that show up during my classes and my regulars know that I will share that with them if one of their loved ones come in. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen from time to time. So I am aware of energy as I do teach yoga. But when I'm being a mom, if I have to go into some place like a grocery store or a regular store, like a big box store of some sort, I definitely don't want it on. I don't want to pick up other people's stuff. My rule of thumb is if you are going to give me something in a time where I'm not working, you need to know, like, I need to be able to do something about it. If you are giving me something, I need to be able to do something about it. The other side of that is I have an open hands policy, is what I like to call it. And it just means that I allow energy to flow through me in a healing capacity, Reiki, energy, whatever. It's not my energy. It's channeled through me. I act as a conduit, and I am happy to share energy work with anybody who needs it. So there's many times where it seems to be the grocery store. I don't know if I'm just more like attentive in the grocery store and I notice it a little bit more. But typically, it, you know, I do have that policy that, you know, I feel a lot with pets too when I run into other people's animals on the trail or out and about or even visiting friends. Animals will take as they need it too, and I can feel that really quickly. So I have an open hands policy, but that's kind of like my thing. So blood, guts, and gore, spirit comes through in a different way for me. If they died in a horrific way, they don't show me that because they know that that's not going to get them where they need to be. Ideally, or if you want to think of it in bigger scheme of things, if a spirit's going to come in being all gross and scary, that's going to make me not be able to do what I need to do for them. So they're respectful and they come through and they tell me or show me the things I need to know without showing me the things that are going to upset me. That being said, I've cried many times doing readings over the years, of course. So yeah, that was kind of like, I turned it back on and I was so curious and so, you know, nervous, and I really didn't know that I was able to do what I do to the capacity that I do it today. It did take a fellow psychic medium that just said, you know, read for me. And I did. And I worked with her quite a bit, which was so helpful. But it really was just this piece of me stepping into what I do and owning it, which I know sounds a little crazy, but that was really the catapult for me. It was just this piece of really owning what I already knew how to do. At that point, I was already trained in Reiki, probably 1 and 2, maybe even 3. My master, I don't remember exactly. I was already doing crystal energy work. I just wasn't doing it for other people other than my friends and family. And mostly just friends and my kiddos. So yeah, I did a lot of reading. That was kind of how I consumed things. You know, I had, when I was married to my ex-husband, we had 4 kids between the 2 of us. We had littles that were only 15 months apart. It was a lot. So for me, there wasn't a lot of extra income to go and learn from other people necessarily. And I did a lot of learning on my own. Now I've been very blessed along the way that I've had a few incredible mentors that have been so helpful along my journey. And I'm so grateful for the patience and the generosity that they have given me over the years. It has made the world of difference in what I've been able to access and be able to do. So that has been incredible. But it was just this general progression that happened until one day I started doing it professionally 15 years ago. January 2010, I started reading professionally, and I think I was charging like $40 for a reading back then, which is crazy. I was doing hands-on energy work, and yeah, it's just wild to kind of go back to that and think about it. I was doing oracle card readings. Nowadays, I don't need tools. I do energy work really fast, so I don't even do it in person these days. So things have really shifted and changed. I really attest to my journey and the work that I've been willing to do on that journey as a testament to the place that I am today. The willingness to heal the broken parts of myself, to take the time to really do the soul work that was necessary for me to be able to do the work that I do. To be able to acknowledge situations that I was in that were no longer serving me and were depleting me, and leaving those situations, it's a lot. And when you're turned on, when you're plugged in and you are aware of energies and emotions and you know things that, you know, I know things. So there was awarenesses along my journey about the things that I had run into, the red flags along the way. Although my intuition is the reason I'm married today to my sweet husband, I will totally admit that. But I have embraced intuition, that gut feeling, and really leaning into that. Now, our intuition never works as good when we're in crisis. It's just the facts of life. I try to not make decisions in crisis these days, if at all possible. I try to sit on things if I am in a heightened state of emotion. But my intuition has really been the thing that has shown me the way. And most recently, over the last, probably since January, I've really had this transition happening where there has been recognition of so many things that I have done and accomplished and not necessarily known why have begun to make a lot of sense. I think I started with Reiki as kind of the place where I kind of stepped into things with a more formal process and fell in love with it instantly. I love energy work. It is such a powerful thing. I am fully aware that I am a healer. That is my purpose here, is healing work. I have such a joy and such a passion for helping people discover why they feel so lost and giving them clarity and direction on the way, not by doing the work for them, but by holding space and creating room for people to discover who they are, the parts of themselves that got broken along the way, and how to repair those parts, to understand the blocks that we've created, and to find a new way of being and moving and growing. That's really been my passion. And very quickly when I started to do Reiki, I recognized that I really wanted to do medical intuition. And it was funny because I, as much as I'm a rule follower in real life, when it comes to the intuition work, I am so the rule breaker. I really have to be able to tap into my own intuition to do the work that I do. So things that are very process-based or map-based don't work really well for me because they feel really constricting, and I don't like to feel constricted. I think that's part of the reason why I like to know so much. I'm like a constant learner because I do want to understand things to be able to be like, how can I use that? How does that work for me? Or can I use that in my practice or whatever? So I quickly understood that from there, I really wanted to do medical intuition. And when Laurie Wilson came across my path, I very much recognized that she offered a form of medical intuition that was right up my alley. And I am incredibly grateful for Laurie and her love and guidance and support along the way. She has been such a phenomenal teacher for me. I also want to give a shout out to Gail, who I did so much of my Reiki training with, and crystal work, she essential oils, and she just was such an incredible soul sister for me. I am so incredibly grateful for her love and support along my journey as well. But Lori has been more in the last, I think I did medical intuition back in 2014. So I've known Lori for like 10 years, and I've done a lot of training with her over the years. I've done medical intuition, business intuition, past life regression, and then I did an amazing class called SOAR. So this is another one of those intuition places. Lori reached out to me, and this is probably almost 2 years ago now. Crazy how long it's been. She reached out to me and said, I'm doing this class called SOAR. I can offer it to you at this price. Are you interested in doing it? It starts in 2 weeks. And there was just something inside of me that said yes. I said to her, I can't afford that. Can I do payments over like a couple of months? And she was like, absolutely. She's always been so generous with me and being able to pay in installments, which I'm so, so grateful for. And I didn't even really know or understand what the course was about. But now I have this incredible group of soul sisters, or I should say SOAR sisters. And that was a pivot point for me. I maybe didn't understand it completely at the time, but that was a huge pivot point for me. There was something that just awakened inside of me that really pushed the limits and really, you know, opened up this awareness. It is what got me into channeling fully without using oracle cards, really connecting to my spirit guides and the wisdom of the universe that I have access to. It really opened something that was next level for me. Not that I wasn't already doing incredible work and I was so excited about what I was doing, but it really took it to a new level. From there, I did past life regression actually after that course. But again, it was funny because past life regression was not on my radar. Like, it was not something that I ever had any interest in. I definitely didn't want to do hypnosis. I had no interest in learning that. For me, I had so much access to everything within my intuition work that I was like, why would I do past life regression? But something called to me. And now I understand why. Over the last like couple of weeks, I totally get it. Although I will say that course was incredible. Past life regression is a very different way of accessing information. And when I was doing the training, it's a meditation style. It is not hypnosis. I really love meditation. I've taught meditation for years. I'm a huge fan of yoga nidra and healing meditations, like big, big, big. So for me, that it was a meditation style was really important. And Lori laughed because she was like, here she goes. She's got more questions. And I asked big questions through the whole thing. I really needed to understand the script. I needed to understand how we got places, why we went to here, why we went to there. Like, I really, like, I dug in and asked all the big questions. All the big questions. Well, as we did the training, of course, we did practice sessions every time we met, and always over Zoom. But in those practice sessions, I was taken to lifetimes that I already knew about, and I was able to access them and witness them in a very different way than how I'd been given them intuitively. That information and the way that it was received gave me so much more than what I could take out of it intuitively. It's like intuitively it was the Cole's notes, and past life regression gave me the movie version. So that one was a really, like, I understood a lot of things about myself in much greater detail. After that, I'm like, what else do I share with you? I started doing weekly oracle card readings, I don't know, back 2012, maybe even earlier. I think it was probably 2012 I started doing it. I laugh if you go to my YouTube and scroll back, because it's always been on YouTube. It hasn't always been on social media, but it's always been on YouTube. And when you scroll back, I giggle because you just watch my hair get shorter and longer, shorter and longer, shorter and longer, and it's kind of funny. So I've been doing that for a really long time. About a year or so ago, I switched to just a straight channeled message instead of using cards. I don't need them. They slow me down. So, it, you know, just channeling it is a much more it gives a lot more information. I love the channeling. I used to do a card of the day, and I switched that to a channeled message of the day. The podcast was kind of a funny one. In my mind, podcast mics cost a lot of money. I don't know why. Like, I thought they were going to be like $500, $600, $800. And when I finally looked them up and it was like $125, I was like, why have I not bought one yet? But the funny part was, is I bought it right away. Like, instantly, I was like, that's stupid. Why have I not got one yet? It's not like I have to save up for this. Let me just go buy one. So I bought one. But then I just sat on it. And it was funny. My kid used to come down and he'd be like, Mom, can you take this out of the box? This is so cool. Can I use this? Can I have this? And I'd be like, no, 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 no. And then one day, just kind of like channeling the message instead of using Oracle cards, I was just like, screw it. Here we go. And I think at the beginning, I did them like every 2 weeks and I kind of faltered along the way. And I was so wrapped up in what I was sharing instead of just sharing. For those of you who've been here since episode one or the near the beginning, these are unedited. I am not about editing out any of it. You get what you get, unless there's a technical error and something shuts off and I have to start again. But I just share. What you see is what you get when it comes to me. And, you know, this is how I share my practice too. I have a passion for the healing work that I do. I am not your sideshow psychic who's going to tell you when you're going to meet the love of your life and how many kids you're going to have. I do that. I will tell you those things because sometimes they come up in a reading. But for the most part, people come to me because they want to make a difference in their lives. And probably 5 or 6 years ago now, I actually sat down and I changed my ideal client. And that was a big game changer for me as well in my practice. I really set the intention that I wanted to work with people who were willing to do the work. I was tired of reading for people and them, you know, having the same problem year after year or every 6 months and me saying, well, did you do the thing? And they'll be like, well, and it's like, yeah, but you didn't do the thing. You didn't change the frequency or the energy. And now you're back and I'm telling you the exact same thing over again because you didn't do the work. So when I set that intention, it really powerfully changed the people that sat in front of me. And it's one of the things that I say to people all the time. You would not be sitting in front of me on the computer screen if you were not ready to do the hard work that was necessary to shift your life to where you want it to be. And that's a fact. It is a fact. Very rarely do I read for people and they come back to me and they haven't done the work. Typically, before we even get off the call, there is an awareness of like how much life can change if you, with the understanding of the information that I've shared and an understanding of like what you need to do to pivot. And that fills my cup. Somebody joked one day and said, are all your clients your friends? And I said, no, but I treat them that way. I love and care and respect my clients so deeply. When you have a win, I like an update. I literally cry. I'm a crier. Let's be honest. I'm just a crier. So like when my fertility clients get pregnant, I can't wait to see a sonogram. You know, when clients have made pivots and things have shifted and they've had amazing experiences, I love those follow-up emails where they're telling me the things that have happened. I love being your cheerleader. Like so much. You know, I'm at a point where I still can answer all my emails and I'm so grateful for that. Because I love it. I love hearing everybody win. It fills my heart so incredibly full to do that. It's what I've been put here to do. And being a single mom, you know, I started to read professionally in 2010, January 2010, and my ex-husband walked out on us as a family in February of 2012. It was the hardest gift I've ever unwrapped. And as a single mom, I made so many sacrifices for my family. I worked multiple jobs so that I could give my children everything that they needed and to make sure that even if I wasn't being supported by their father, that I was able to give them what they needed. I maybe didn't have a whole lot and there wasn't a whole lot of extras, but I made it happen when I could make it happen, which also meant that, you know, I couldn't read full time as a business because it just wasn't an option. I needed a paycheck. I needed the security of that. And that was really hard for me because it was really something that I was so passionate about. And even though I had made shifts thinking that I was making changes that were going to offer me more space to do my business, it in fact actually encroached on my business and made it harder for me to do what I was doing. It took up more of my time and way more of my capacity to be able to do the thing that I thought I was going to do to make it better. Fast forward, eventually I made the shifts, leaving jobs that no longer filled my cup, and made space for the things that were really important for me. And because of that, I have been able to give my business way more time and energy and be able to grow it to a place where it is, you know, having me more self-sufficient. And I'm so grateful for that because I love what I do and I am so grateful for everyone that ever books. You have no idea the happy dance that I do when I get a booking, because I really love what I do. And it just means that I get to help someone else, support someone else, and give them sacred space to learn and grow about themselves, to find themselves again, and to continue on the journey, with more passion and empowerment and understanding and wisdom and all that good stuff. So yeah. What else should I share about myself? So intuition. So I met my husband a lot of years ago, probably 20 plus years ago. We were in a wedding together. One of my dear friends from university and his best friend were getting married and we were both in the wedding party and that's where we met the first time. And I have always told the story of the best man speech I've ever heard. And my husband gave that speech to his best friend at that wedding. Everybody talked about it. My other girlfriend who we went to university with, we always talked about that. He definitely imprinted on me. And what I did, you know, that night was the beginning of my first marriage falling apart. No, he's not my second husband. He's my third husband. Sadly, I made a mistake in between and I learned lots of lessons in the in-between and I have no regrets for my life. But it was interesting. After my ex left in 2012, we headed to Hamilton. I knew that I needed a new beginning. I knew I didn't want to stay in Woodstock anymore. It was a great little town, don't get me wrong, but I just didn't have any connections there. I don't know why I was drawn to Hamilton, but I was. It took me further away from family, but it is where I did my yoga teacher training and I had some really close friends, people that I am still friends with to this day. That are incredible people from the yoga community that have become like my closest friends. And so I felt safe. I also do have family here. My dad was born in Burlington. I do have my mom's cousin in this area. So I did have family members that were not that far away, even though they weren't close family. I did feel like I could come here and be supported. And I always joke that I became like a serial dater after I finally started to date again. I didn't mess around. I definitely didn't go on multiple dates with a lot of people because I couldn't be bothered. And I really knew what I wanted and I wasn't willing to bend. And it was funny when I met Dave again, it was kind of one of these things where my girlfriend kept on saying, you should go out with him, you should go out with him, you should go out with him. I'm like, finally, I was like, I'm so done dating. I just want to go, you know, like on dates and not like, I don't want to deal with the BS of online dating and stuff like that. And she's like, you should go out with him. I'm like, fine, tell me his story. So she told me his story and I melted a little bit. And I was like, yep, he deserves a date. So we started to talk. and we went to Chapters, or sorry, not Chapters, we went to Starbucks and had coffee and talked and really hit it off. And it was kind of like an interesting beginning. I didn't realize how closed off I was to finding love again. I didn't realize that I was the problem. It wasn't him. He was all in. And I still love him for that. Gail came up to visit me from London and read for me and said, she pulled the cards and I had told her, you know, about the situation and how it was, I wasn't sure what was going on. And intuitively, I knew that I wasn't supposed to break up with this guy, but at the same time, I just couldn't connect in the way that I wanted to. And I was confused. And she pulled cards and looked at me as I was making tea and said, "What is your problem?" And at that point, I knew that I was the problem, that I had closed off my heart and I didn't want to get hurt again. But when I opened it, I realized this man will never hurt me. And, you know, I worked really hard to find someone who was my equal and my partner. And I know that he will love me till eternity and beyond. And I feel really blessed for that. But if it wasn't for listening to my intuition, I probably would have broken up with him and not given him a chance that he deserved. So that intuition piece was a really good one. I am so incredibly grateful for my journey. I have learned so much along the way. I created a day planner. I think I'm year five into the Soulful Mystic Planner, a weekly planner that offers space for dreaming and manifesting and all this stuff. And it keeps growing every single year. There's a manifestation workbook in it. This year I added moon cycles as well because it's something that's important to me. And it just keeps evolving, and I just get excited every year when it comes out. There's more changes down the pipe this year for creating it and printing it more on demand than I did previously, but not from a big box. It will be local, don't you worry. I feel like that's really important. Also, over the last few weeks, I have had quite the download on a new healing program, and I'm not going to say too much because it is in the works, and the more that I solidify it, the more I will share with you. But there was a moment where my gap was filled in, and I'm grateful for Lori and the wisdom she shared with me in a business intuition practice session with other people, and she just gave me the gap. That session really connected all the dots. And when I say all the dots, I mean like the last 15 years of energy work and channeling and readings, and it just all makes so much more sense. It was like everything was preparing me for this moment. And I am so excited for what is coming down the pipeline. So incredibly excited. So, if you have bared with me for these 37 plus minutes, thank you. I am so grateful for the incredible souls that have supported me on this journey. I couldn't do it without you. Friends, colleagues, networking people, my husband, my teachers and mentors, like I could not have done it without you. I have felt so loved and supported on so much of this journey, and I think that is partially why I have been able to get to where I have gotten. So, new healing program is coming down the pipeline. I promise it won't take me that long. It's coming. It's in motion. Also, the podcast. So I am going to switch things up a little bit. On Mondays, I do a channeled message for the energy for the week. And I've always shared that on YouTube. And then I started sharing it on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. I am expanding that. And we are going to be sharing it here on the podcast now as well. So on Mondays, I am going to drop the energy forecast instead of a podcast episode now. Yes, it's still a podcast episode, but it's not me chatting at you. It is the energy forecast, which, yeah, I guess is me chatting at you too. Then on Thursdays, I will drop a new episode. So I will continue on. Yes, sometimes I will do an energy update because it's bigger than just what the weekly reading is. Sharing energy work or sharing information about, you know, anything spiritual and divine. You know I love to chat. I am also working on more guests for the podcast. Maybe it's time to have Lori on. So I definitely will be having more guests on the podcast as well over the next little while. But that is the shift. So it is going to be Monday is the energy forecast. I recognize for me, I really love podcasts. I listen to them on my way to work. I listen to them in my office. It is an easy way for me to consume information. And so I felt like being able to put the reading into the podcast would be a really great way for people to access it in a different way. So that is the shift there. There'll be a new cover. And I'm super excited for that. As always, you know, follow along in my newsletter. I do lots of different events. I don't typically read in person other than mini sessions, but I do try to do all sorts of things to give you access to the different things that I do. And I'm really passionate about making sure that there is all sorts of price points as well. I want to make sure that things are accessible. So I try to keep things, at price points that are accessible to everybody. Not everything is price points that are accessible to everybody, but I try to offer a variety of price points to make sure that there is something that is accessible to everybody. There we go. That's better said. Thank you. Thank you for being here for episode 100. I am so excited. I hope you're here for 100 more and maybe 1,000 more. And, I'm grateful. My business is called From the Heart and Soul for a reason. I wear my heart in my sleeve and I move from the heart and soul always. It is just my natural way of being. Like I say, what you see is what you get. And I am so incredibly grateful to be able to be here, to be your spiritual tour guide on this beautiful journey we call life. So thank you from my heart and soul to yours.